Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Na sach chastishu sajeta. No pajiveta jivikam. Vada vadans jajet tarkan. Paksham kamcha nasam shrayet. 10th Translation and purport. Literature that is a useless waste of time. In other words, literature without spiritual benefit should be rejected. One should not become a professional teacher as a means of earning one's livelihood, nor should one indulge in arguments and counter-arguments. Nor should one take shelter of any cause or faction. A person desiring to advance in spiritual understanding should be extremely careful to avoid reading ordinary literature. The world is full of ordinary literature that creates unnecessary agitation in the mind. Such literature, including newspapers, dramas, novels, and magazines, is factually not meant for advancement in spiritual knowledge. Indeed, it has been described as a place of enjoyment for crows. Tad vayasam tirtam. Anyone advancing in spiritual knowledge must reject such literature. Furthermore, one should not concern oneself with the conclusions of various logicians or philosophers. Of course, those who preach sometimes need to argue with the contentions of opponents. But as much as possible, one should avoid an argumentative attitude. In this connection, Srila Madhvacharya says, Aprapyo janapaksham na samsrayatna prayo janapakshishyan na vritta shishya bandhakrit na chodasina shastrani na virudhani chabhyaset. Navyakhyayo pajivetana nishidan samacharit evam bhuto yatir yati tareka sarano harim. This means there is no need to take shelter of unnecessary literature or concern oneself with many so-called philosophers and thinkers who are useless for spiritual advancement. Nor should one accept a disciple for the sake of fashion or popularity. One should be callous to these so-called shastras, neither opposing nor favoring them. And one should not earn one's livelihood by taking money for explaining shastra. A sannyasi must always be neutral and seek the means to advance in spiritual life, taking full shelter under the lotus feet of the Lord. Namo Nasat. Each quatrain contains one prohibition. So there are four prohibitions. Don't read mundane literature. Don't try to make a career by teaching or writing. Don't get caught up in opposing or favoring different arguments. And don't take shelter of any cause or faction. When Srila Prabhupada met his spiritual master, he was a proponent of the Gandhi's cause. He was wearing khadi, and he argued with Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, how can we preach Chaitanya's message when India is not an independent country? Who will take that seriously? First, we have to be independent. So he had become persuaded by Gandhi to think that the most important thing is to make India independent. But his spiritual master changed his mind. He persuaded him to think otherwise, to think that the message of Lord Chaitanya is most important. Why? Here it's mentioned because advancement in spiritual understanding is the most important. Life is not meant for material enjoyment. And ordinary literature, ordinary causes, ordinary factions are all concerned in one way or another with material enjoyment. I will enjoy as an Indian. I will enjoy as American. It's all artificial. Srila Prabhupada said when we are sitting in the heat and it's just unbearable, it's hot, then we turn on a fan. Or a nice breeze cools us down. Then we're not enjoying that breeze in an Indian way or in an American way. We're just enjoying the cooling effect. It's not based on where you took your birth. Not based on the body. So there's so many artificial designations which are there to help us enjoy material energy. Ordinary literature creates different agitations in the mind. It makes us think in different ways. I can enjoy like this or like that. I can enjoy being a driver of a nice Ford Fiesta, a very good car. Or I can enjoy a skateboard. Surfboard. So magazines are there to help encourage these interests. Novels are there to give some idea of the times in which we live and how to enjoy these times. And for those who are serious, then there's newspapers and journals. And you can take different points of view very seriously. Take politics seriously. So all these things, to a transcendentalist, they're just not required. Not required for spiritual advancement. So here the injunctions are strong. Don't take shelter of these things. Reject them. Interesting word used. ashastra, asat. Shastra. They seem to be like shastras. But they're asat. They're not concerned with the sat, or what is permanent, what is beyond this world. So one shouldn't be attached to them. Of course, there might be a gray area. It's not maybe completely black and white, because people come to Krishna consciousness without fully understanding the shastras. So they may get a little impetus from some literature that perhaps is in the mode of goodness, or brings in some idea related to spiritual life. For somebody who doesn't know anything about sat, then some literature that encourages some interest in sat, that might be helpful. We could ask, was it helpful to Srila Prabhupada somehow that he took up Gandhi's cause? Yes, in one sense it was. Why? Because he rejected his university degree, encouraged by Gandhi. He did not take the degree offered by the Scottish Church's college. So it developed in his mind, it developed a sense of rejecting one cause for another. And so maybe it was a little easier for him to reject Gandhi's cause when he got something on the level of Sat Chidananda. And Srila Prabhupada, when he preached to us in the 1970s, he strongly advocated that we oppose Darwinism. As you probably know, this is the 200th anniversary of Darwin's birth. So this year there are many celebrations of Darwinism. And there doesn't seem to be any way of stopping the propaganda. But I think the Darwinists are feeling some of the challenges given by other schools of thought, because they are holding together, they're marching together, you could say. They're not very calm about the opposition. They're a little worried, maybe very worried about the opposition. We can judge this based upon the strength with which they're opposing, or how they're opposing anti-Darwinism. Several years ago, Judhakarma and Sadaputta appeared on television, on a major network. There was a show about ancient historical evidence of civilizations. So they were on the show along with others. And those who were on the show put forward the evidence for ancient civilizations. And it was strongly opposed. The show was strongly opposed by evolutionists, those who espouse evolution, theories of evolution. They criticized the network and threatened the network that there would be some penalty. They would try to impose some penalty upon the network for broadcasting this propaganda to such a wide audience. Then, more recently, in the last few years, since about the 90s, there's been a school called the Intelligent Design Theory. Intelligent Design, I'm sure you've heard of it. They're arguing that when we scientifically investigate biology and botany and physics and chemistry, we find atomic composition and composition of instruments on the cellular level, which are so complex that we don't see how they could have arisen by a process of natural selection. So there's been a lot of opposition to this theory in the courts in America. There was some case about whether this intelligent design theory could be taught in the schools, and the courts rejected it. They said, no, it's not science. It's disguised theology. They want to bring in the idea of God as the creator. And it's not science. That might be okay for social studies or religious studies, but it should not be taught as science. Judhakarma says that, to be fair to those who have other theories than the evolutional theory, the anti-evolutionists, to be fair to them, science textbooks should devote maybe 10%, 10%, 5% to mentioning that there are other theories, not that Darwin's theory has been accepted by everyone. In fact, the other day, Judhakarma sent an email saying that he was looking at the sales figures for books on intelligent design. And he found that 45, maybe 50, 60% of books in that category of knowledge, which has to do with evolution, and 45% of the books sold were books about intelligent design or books opposing evolution. So normally, here, Bhagavatam says, don't advocate a cause. Don't take up a particular theory or favor one theory and oppose another. But Srila Prabhupada wanted that. In this case, he wasn't neutral because he saw that people were being misled from the goal of life, of spiritual advancement. They were being made to think that life is matter. There's nothing but matter. There's no spirit. So this was a preliminary step to getting people to take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, to direct them to understand that Darwinian theory is materialistic and it's not adequate to explain life. In one sense, we could say it's just another literature meant for crows. Crows are called ka ka because they sound like that early in the morning. Ka ka. And Prabhupada said that the soul is originally swan-like. The soul is originally swan-like. The soul enjoys spiritual topics that have to do with sat. But in the material world, this swan becomes a crow. So there's so many crow-like people in the world, although originally they're swan-like. So they have to be changed back into swans by the preaching of Dharma, the preaching of Krishna. Now, as devotees, we might wonder how much this restriction not to be attached to ordinary literature applies to us. When I was in Maharashtra for 3 weeks recently, I read an interesting article about Tukaram written by Lokanath Swami. It was published in Bhakta Godhead. And I read that he wrote an autobiography, I think. He wrote his own biography, and he wrote a collection of songs. So I was desiring to read those. Where can I find that English translation? Or what about Bhagavad Gita? Bhagavad Gita is dedicated by Srila Prabhupada to Baladev Vijayabhusan, who so nicely gave the Govindabhas commentary on Vedanta Sutra. Where is that English edition of Govindabhas? I want to read that. So we may want to read books that are not strictly given by Srila Prabhupada. But he's warning us, Bhagavatam is warning us, be careful not to be attached to books that don't fall in this category of shastras or descriptions of the saints or songs by the saints. Sometimes the academics write about Vedanta. Sometimes they write about Tukaram. So many, they touch on these same topics. But they may not have the goal of spiritual advancement in mind when they write. And they may misinterpret. Radhakrishnan was the first president of India. Radhakrishna, Sarvapalli Radhakrishna. He wrote on Bhagavad Gita and Prabhupada criticized him. He's not qualified to explain Bhagavad Gita. Because he writes, when Krishna says, surrender unto me, he writes, it's not to Krishna that we have to surrender, but to the unborn within Krishna. And Prabhupada said there's no difference between Krishna's inside and outside, or Krishna's within and without. So sometimes also the academics, they make a living on this literature. There are scholars in our field who are connected with the topics that we study. They're religionists. There's the American Academy of Religion. It meets every year. There's an annual conference. And they have sessions on maybe Ramanuja. Ravindra Swarup was once attending this convention and he was meeting informally in a hotel room with some of the scholars. Ravindra Swarup got his PhD in religion. So the scholars were meeting in a hotel room and enjoying. What would you have? What would you like to drink? Whiskey and sour? Gin and tonic? No, just a 7-Up. Ravindra just had 7-Up. And the scholars were saying, well, what should we discuss next year? I know, let's talk about Balaram. Balaram likes Varuni. He likes to get intoxicated. So he's just like us. We like these intoxicating drinks. So here Bhagavatam warns, don't take up that occupation of the academic. Don't try to make a living on the shastras. And what about causes? There's so many causes that are related to Krishna consciousness. There's vegetarianism, the anti-abortion movement, anti-smoking. Shouldn't we be active in opposing abortion? How come we don't print a BTG for 5 rupees, special edition, 16 pages? Stop abortion in India. Hear the facts. Maybe we will. Maybe someday there'll be some special issue. Maybe the anti-abortionists have a day each year where they really strongly speak out against abortion. Well, maybe we could print something for them. But generally, the persons who advocate different causes, they're not behind us all the way. Prabhupada said, those who are advocating vegetarianism, they may not agree to chant. Or those in the 1960s who were against the Vietnam War, the devotees would go to the public rallies. There were so many public rallies in America at that time, on campuses, and oppose the war, stop the war. And the devotees were going to pass out magazines and so on. And some letters were written to Prabhupada, you know, how much can we be allied? And Prabhupada said, not so much, because they're not going to follow us all the way. They're not going to necessarily give up meat eating. And they don't know that meat eating is a cause of war. They're opposing the war, but they're eating meat. So it's contradiction. So someone is advised here, don't oppose and don't favor different causes. Try to be neutral. Try to stick to the cause of advancing in spiritual life. And don't read literature that doesn't give you spiritual benefit. Sridhar Swami commented on the first canto, 5th chapter, 10th verse. You know those verses? Literature which is not meant for spiritual advancement. It's like literature enjoyed, like it's like garbage enjoyed by crows. Crows like a dirty place. They like a big garbage bin. But literature that's meant for advancement is enjoyed by swan-like people. So Sridhar Swami was commenting on this and said that material enjoyment is just connected to the vagina. And Prabhupada repeated this. He mentioned this once or twice, that Sridhar Swami commented like this, that just material enjoyment is just enjoying the vagina. So it's not a very high thing. Like Jayadvaita Maharaj said about this picture of Haridas Thakur. Did he mention this here or in Pune? Maybe in Pune. He was in Puri recently and he saw a picture of Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur smiling, chanting his japa smiling, while this Maya Devi personified came to allure him. And she had on a see-through, transparent, filmy dress. She was showing everything. Haridas Thakur was smiling and laughing as if to say, I'm going to give up chanting Hare Krishna for that? No, hey. I don't want that. So the swan-like man, he doesn't want this crow-like enjoyment, crow-like literature. And therefore, Srila Gaurakishore Das, Babaji, he was illiterate. He wasn't interested in what was going on in the city of Calcutta. Maybe that was an advantage, not to have to read all the garbage. Just like when you're in a foreign country. I'm in India, I don't know so much Hindi script. I look at things and I don't know necessarily what they mean. So I don't have to read a lot of things. Avoid. Srila Prabhupada and also others, Prabhupada's father, if I'm not mistaken, if my memory is correct, persons in that generation, they were at that some people advocated the social cause of literacy. There should be literacy for all the children. Therefore, the schools should teach everyone to read. This became a big, widespread thing in India, in the West, worldwide. Worldwide, people were being encouraged. Let's make everyone literate. But Prabhupada and his father, I think, and were critical. Others, some intellectuals were critical. What's the use? You teach people to read, and they're just going to read so much mundane literature. What's the advantage in that? All this mundane literature, it's just a product of the urge to speak. Srila Rupa Goswami says, Vacho Vegam. The urge to speak, it has to be controlled. We have to speak about something that's beneficial, not just anything and everything. So there's so much literature, it just represents the urge to speak. And we have to avoid that. We have to talk about devotional service. Prabhupada was very strict. He said, we're not going to give classes in our temples about so many topics, but rather we're going to speak about the pure essence of life. And people will come. There's no question that people will take an interest. Just like all of you, you're so dedicated to Krishna's devotional service that you don't want to hear about so many other topics. You've just put yourself here, living in the ashram, so that you don't have to listen to so many other topics. This literature will create a revolution in society, according to Vyasadeva and Srila Prabhupada, even just one page. If we can only afford to print one page of the Bhagavad Gita, then let's do that and let's distribute that, Prabhupada sometimes said. So it's not just for himself that one becomes a transcendentalist, but one wants to help others. One wants to uplift others. He sees that people don't know about Krishna, so he preaches to give them some idea. Out of compassion, out of mercy for the person. Not that he's envious of the person. Most people in material life are envious of others. But the transcendentalist is nirmatsarana param. He understands the Bhagavatam because he's not envious. He's not envious of Krishna. Therefore, he's not envious of Krishna's parts and parcels. He wants to help them. And he feels displaced in this material world. This is not my place. This is not a place for me. Although I have this material body, I'm not this. I don't feel comfortable. So he makes transcendental inquiries, like Mother Devahuti to Lord Kapila. Please tell me, my Lord, my dear son, please enlighten me. I don't feel at home. So, satam prasangat, mama virya samvido. Please, let me hear the topics of Krishna's glories. Let me hear this in the association of devotees. It's very pleasing to the ear and to the heart. Because the soul is not asat. The soul is not temporary. So the soul wants that which is permanent. Not the gramya kata. Srila Prabhupada started in New York his preaching, and one of the first newspapers to cover him was the New York Times, also the East Village Other. So he said, we'll read these if they contain some news about us, but otherwise we're not so interested. He placed one advertisement for his books in the New York Times. So sometimes he would talk about the New York Times. Big, big newspaper, and thrown away the next day. And so many trees are cut down. And then people complain there's a shortage of paper. Now they recycle paper. They're very conscientious. We should be green. We should not inflict so much damage on the environment. Recycle. This morning I thought you'd be interested to know how many crow-like literatures are published every year in different countries. So I went on the internet to find out. The leading country is the United Kingdom. This year. Some previous years it was the United States, so they've been competing for first place. Around 200, let's say 2 lakhs. 2 lakhs of books are published every year in the UK. United States, about 170,000. Almost 2 lakhs. China, 130,000. Then there's a big drop. Many countries don't publish that much, in 1 lakh or more, up to 2 lakhs. Many publish only in the range of 20,000 to 50,000 books per year. And those include Spain, Russia, Italy, France, and Brazil. Then you come to the category 10,000 to 20,000 books per year. You'll be happy to know India is there. Number 16, along with Canada, Switzerland, Poland, Belgium, Sweden, Finland, and Australia. Now, we're not talking about Srinvatam Swakata Krishna. We're talking about crows lit. Then you have a category, 1,000 to 10,000 books a year. There are about 20 countries publishing that much. And there are about 40 countries publishing less than 1,000 books a year. Not so much. And then it goes down. You get up to about number 80 on the list. And they're publishing only 5 or 10 books a year in their country. Very, very small. I suppose if we went in there with our BBT books, we'd really have a market. Maybe not. Maybe not, though. Some of these countries are so poor, the people can't buy any books. I guess that's why there's no market for them. Oh, the transcendental literature. It's praised in the Bhagavatam by Vyas, or Narad Muni, actually. He says, this literature is so wonderful that even if it's imperfectly composed, it will benefit people. You know, the meters are important in Sanskrit. They're called chandas. And so metrical is important. But even if it's not perfect, still, that literature, if it's glorifying Krishna, it's wonderful. Prabhupada told an anecdote about his own life and how when he was a young man, a householder, or a student, cinemas were popular. Cinemas are another form of this crow-like literature. So one of his friends said, hey, Abhai, come on, we're going to the cinema, let's go. Prabhupada said, cinema? I don't want to go. No, this movie's really good, you should come and see it. It's whatever it was, he didn't say what it was. But they were dragging him, you know, come on, Abhai. So Prabhupada went. He said, I went, but I didn't go in. I let them drag me along, but I didn't go in. I wasn't interested. I went back. And then he also gave that as an example of our control of the mind. We should be able to control our mind. So even if the mind drags us to the cinema, we don't go. That much sense control we have to have. So, how many of you have seen Slumdog Millionaire? Okay, any questions?
Thank you for the nice class, Prabhuji. In the translation, there is a stress on livelihood, in the sense, don't indulge in teaching mundane subject matters. So can you just tell why stress is being given there? Tell only that as a...
Tell why this is prohibited?
Yeah, yeah.
Why is this?
Means especially that part. There are many... mundane engagements people take as livelihood.
I think it's because why should the Bhagavatam prohibit teaching as a livelihood? Specifically, it's teaching. Here it's mentioned literary career or it's a waste of time. It's a waste of life. You may teach so many things. You may do so much research. But if you neglect the real purpose of life, then death will come along and you won't be prepared for death. You'll die no better than a cat or a dog who doesn't understand how to solve the problems of life. You'll just have spent your life discussing this author or that philosopher or this division of knowledge or that division of knowledge. Also prohibited, Prabhupada spoke out against persons who teach the Shastra or show the deity as a means of livelihood. In the Bhagavad Saptaha, that's just livelihood, usually. So professional recitation to maintain the family, that's prohibited also. But there's different divisions of knowledge, and the Brahmins are meant to teach different divisions of knowledge. But generally, Brahmins didn't teach for money. You know, where's my paycheck? They gave knowledge to people without charge. And then there was reciprocation based upon people's gratitude. So the whole economy has changed. Nowadays, the economy is all based on, not on give and take, but on salary. And so Prabhupada criticized those persons who get their degrees, then they have to go with the degree in their mouth like a dog. Woof, woof, give me a job. Wag the tail. Or they don't get a job. If the economy is not good, they have to work like a taxi driver. Another question? All right. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Glory to Srila Prabhupada.